And finally today, legions of film stars have temporarily ditched the balmy weather of Hollywood to shiver in style in Park City, Utah at this year's Sundance Film Festival. The event wraps up this weekend. Festival organizers boasted this week that more than a dozen Oscar nominations went to films that received substantial support from the Sundance Institute or the Sundance Festival itself. Here with us to talk about what's hot in the snow and cold of this year's Sundance is Wesley Mars. He's a film critic for the Boston Globe. Wesley, welcome back. We'll try to tamp down our rage and envy.
Please don't.
That
please.
You got to hang with the stars like Jennifer Hudson and Susan Sarandon and Kerry Washington. That you were hanging.
Well, I got to tell you, I don't know where they were. I go there and I work. And one of the things about this year is that there's a much greater emphasis on the quality of the films as opposed to the stars that have come to see them or to like promote them. People are talking about the movies. And you just feel like they're trying to get back to something that is very essential about this festival. It feels like they're waking up again, and it's very exciting.
So tell us about a couple of the films that excited you at Sundance.
Well, I mean, I saw a number of films I really, really liked this year, more than I have in a while. And one of the ones that grabbed me was the opening night movie. It's called Pariah. It's about a 17-year-old lesbian who's trying to figure out not so much how to tell her parents she's gay, but exactly what kind of lesbian and black woman she wants to be. And it's both refreshing and a bit of a shock to see a woman, a young black woman, trying to make her sexuality her own in a way that falls outside of the way it's been defined by the groups that she belongs to.
Okay, hold on a second. Let's just play a short clip. And I just want to mention Spike Lee is the executive producer of the film, which is interesting because, you know, some critics have not appreciated the way they feel he has portrayed African-American women and their sexuality. So here is a short clip from Pariah.
How I dress has nothing to do with how I feel.
What?
Just because I don't bag my jeans and rock beaters all the time? Does that make me fake?
No, I never told you to dress any kind of way.
Now listen, you tell me the truth.
You already know.
Well, so there it is. So was there a breakout?
I just got a little chill remembering that scene in that movie. The director is a woman named Dee Reese. She's a newcomer. It's her first feature. This is based on a short that was also at the festival a couple of years ago. And she is just so perceptive about how people relate to each other, how people express themselves. It feels true. It feels like, I mean, I know these people. I've been to this part of Brooklyn. And the Kim Wayans, the comedian, plays her mother, a woman who's very aloof and not wanting to admit the fact that that her daughter's gay. And the father is a cop who is very close to the daughter, but also doesn't really want to know.
Now, another film that got your attention is also a family, kind of centered on the dynamics of a family. And it's called Gun Hill Road, which New Yorkers will recognize is in the Bronx. Mm-hmm. And it's about a family that's trying to readjust after the father returns from prison. Here's a clip.
What are you doing, Angie?
I'm getting ready for bed.
Don't you miss me?
Ricky, please, not now. I'm tired.
Yeah, what are you tired from?
Life.
Well, I thought you was tired from going with that new boyfriend of yours.
What are you talking about? I don't got no boyfriend.
No?
No, what are you, deaf?
Don't lie to me, Angie. I ain't f***ing stupid!
And that was Esai Morales as Enrique and Judy Reyes as Angela in Gun Hill Road. And the lives of people who are connected to prison crime, so forth, have been subjects of films before. What do you think makes this film distinct?
What makes this film distinctive is that the son that these two characters have is in the process of changing his gender. He's becoming a woman, and the Esai Morales character has come from prison after 3 years of being there. His son is becoming a different person. He recognizes that, but does not recognize his son. And so there's this really interesting tension between this very macho guy who I can only imagine what he experienced in prison. His son's becoming this sort of worst case scenario for his paternity. You know, one of the things that I was heartened by in this, both the festival this year and watching these two movies and a handful of others, is just that, you know, it reminds you that the world is bigger than what we've often been given in films.
We're talking with Boston Globe film critic Wesley Morris about the Sundance Film Festival. But before we let you go, Wesley, there's also a documentary that you told us caught your eye. This one is called The Interrupters, and it follows a group of men in Chicago who literally interrupt crime. We've actually featured some of the people on this program. There's some strong language, as you would imagine, in the film. We've tried to obscure some of it while trying to keep the flavor of what you're going to hear, but I'm just going to warn people that all of it may not be obscured. I'll just play a short clip and we can talk about it.
When I let loose, God, they going to know. Shouldn't have crossed me.
But still, though, man, you got to try to leave that alone, though.
I ain't even chilling on until I get these motherfuckers.
But you was locked up before for the same shit, though.
Man, I've been locked up 15 years in my life. What that mean?
We just try to offer you options and solutions to the problem.
It's a rough one. But anytime you got a person who will stay there and talk with you, you got a chance of working out with them.
Well, that's interesting. What about it? Tell us more, Wesley. What did you think?
I mean, it's so interesting listening to those clips. I mean, this Steve James made this film. He's the director of Hoop Dreams. I find his commitment to his subject slightly problematic because I think it crosses certain ethical boundaries. And I think here his MO is to just stand back and observe the way this task force, Ceasefire, goes about preventing gang violence. You know, they don't want to stop the gangs. They just want to stop the murders. And what you realize watching this is that there's a way in which what they're doing is kind of inadequate. I mean, we do see in the film that it stops some things from happening, but it raises so many other questions about how you give poor Black Americans self-esteem when they've institutionally had it taken away from them. And I think one of the things the movie uncovers is that there needs to be a psychological and emotional and social way of getting at the root of the problem as well.
Wesley Morris is a film critic for the Boston Globe. He's just back from Park City, Utah at the Sundance Film Festival, and he joined us from Boston. Wesley, thank you.
Thank you, Michelle.
And that's our program for today. Tell Me More is produced by Bracton Booker, Bridget Deshagas, Grant Clark, Lori Grant, Lee Hill, Sanaj Meshkinpour, Veronica Miller, Emily Oxenschlager, and Amy Ta. Our editor is Kyle McKinnon. Our directors this week are Arjun Hutchins and Monica Evstatieva. Our senior producer is Alicia Montgomery. Our intern is Rachel Otwell. Our technical director is Kimberly Jones. She had a hand this week from Neil Tivolt. Our theme music was composed by Underdog Entertainment with additional arrangements by Ian Honeyman. The supervising senior editor is Portia Robertson-Migas. The executive producer is Tashima Walker. And remember, to tell us more, you can always go to npr.org and find us under the Programs tab. You can also follow us on Twitter. Just look for Tell Me More NPR. I'm Michelle Martin, and you've been listening to Tell Me More from NPR News and the African American Public Radio Consortium. Let's talk more tomorrow.